Well, I pray that Malia will just keep playing and Dawson will keep singing. I want to ask for your prayers today as I stand before you and try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to ask you if you have your Bibles there and would like to read with me to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to take a reading beginning with the very first verse of this chapter. Probably going to read quite a bit today, so bear with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, that's still happening today, isn't it? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And the last verse I want to read for now in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I want to speak to you today. The Lord doesn't always put this on my heart and allow me to do this at Easter, but this is the way that he has impressed me today. And I want to share with you the things that I believe about the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul here in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where I have read from the very opening of what we now know in our Bibles as 1 Corinthians 15, in the very opening of this chapter, the Apostle Paul makes it known here that he preached all of it. He preached, when he preached the gospel, he said, moreover, brethren, when I declare unto you the gospel, I preach all of it. I preach first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But I also preach that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so the Apostle Paul declared here in his writing to the church at Corinth that when I preached the gospel and when I came to you and preached the gospel to you, I preached that Jesus died to atone for your sins. And I also preached that he experienced on the third day bodily resurrection. And he preached all of those things. He preached essentially the same thing that he wrote to the Romans when he said there in Romans chapter 4 verse 25 concerning Jesus that he was delivered for our offenses. And that's the reason that Christ died. He died because of our sins. He died for our sins or our offenses. So he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. And so, you know, it was absolutely necessary if there was going to be any salvation for anybody. It was absolutely necessary that Jesus Christ come and die on the cross, that he come here and that he would come to this earth and live as a man and die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But it was also absolutely imperative that the grave not hold him. It was imperative that he raise from the dead, and if not, we would be, just as the Apostle Paul said here, we would be yet in our sins. Our preaching would be in vain. The things that we believe would be in vain. We would be yet in our sins. We would not be saved had not Christ risen from the dead. And so I'm thankful certainly that Jesus, you know, made that sacrifice, that he came and died on the cross for all of us. And I want you to know, if you're here today and you're lost, that if you're ever going to find a remedy for your lost condition, you're going to have to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to die without salvation, because there's no other way to be saved other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did rise from the dead. Now, I want to go on and I want to read some more, because the Apostle Paul, later on in this chapter, he begins to tell us some things in particular concerning the resurrection. And in verse 35, he says, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Now he's talking here about a bodily resurrection. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead." Now, I want you to really think about what Paul writes here, because this really begins to describe to us what resurrection really means. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It, that which has died, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, so, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now, I love this verse. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that concludes the reading of that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I appreciate your patience. I know that was a lot of reading, but I felt like the Lord would have me to read all of those verses today. And so we assembled today, I believe it was about 20 of us here for the sunrise service, and we assembled across the street there in the cemetery, near to some of the graves where people from the past that were members of our church are now buried. And their bodies are now resting there in the earth, but they're not going to always be there. They're there just waiting and resting and waiting for that great day of the resurrection that the Apostle Paul was writing about here in these verses that I have read before you. And we read in here how that Paul obviously encountered those that did not believe that there would even be such a thing as the resurrection of the body. We know that the Bible tells us plainly, and probably that's who he was addressing. The Bible tells us plainly that there was a religious sect among the Jews known as the Sadducees, that they did not believe in any such thing as the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he spoke about some that he had encountered that taught in error concerning the resurrection as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, and you know, we use this verse a lot, oftentimes singularly. We often quote this verse just by itself, where Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But when he wrote that, he was actually writing to Timothy particularly concerning some that were teaching something that was not right concerning the resurrection. He goes on and he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, and this was their error, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, they were teaching that the resurrection was something that had already taken place. Now, exactly how they believed it, the Bible doesn't tell us, but whatever it was that they were teaching concerning the resurrection, they were teaching that it was something in the past. But the resurrection is not past. We have not missed the resurrection. The resurrection is yet to come. I mean, as far as it affects the human family, it's future and it's yet to come. Jesus, in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 39 and verse 40, in both of those verses, he makes mention that he will raise us up at the last day. And so we know that it is something that is still in the future. In the 24th chapter of the Gospel of, or in the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, rather, when the Apostle Paul was before Felix, he told Felix this. He said, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. There is going to only be one bodily resurrection. There is going to be a resurrection. And I believe that's plainly taught in the Word of God. If somebody is willing to take what God said about it, then we can plainly see that there will be a resurrection, that it will consist of the resurrection both of the just and the unjust, or of the saved and the lost, and that it will happen at the last day. And also in John chapter 5, in verses 28 and 29, and this is Jesus talking, and you can't get any better than that. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour, that one specific time, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, I spoke this morning at the graveside service from the 11th chapter of John concerning the time that Jesus raised a man named Lazarus and brought him back to life. But I want to say something in this, and not trying to be confusing, and I hope to be able to explain what I believe about this, but even though that Jesus raised Lazarus back to life, Lazarus has not yet experienced the resurrection. And there is a difference in, through the working of miracles, when Christ was on earth for the purpose of authentication, and he gave that same power to his disciples, and they were able to go out and raise people from the dead. They were actually able, through the working of miracles from time to time, with people that had died, to restore life unto them and bring them back from the dead. But those people have not yet experienced what the Bible teaches us to be the resurrection. That is yet to come. If you look up the definition, if you look up a dictionary of definition of resurrection, it's going to tell you that it basically means the raising again of a corpse. But there is more that we're going to experience in the resurrection than just this body being raised. There's going to be greater benefits for us than just that. You see, when the Lord raised Lazarus from the grave, and what I wanted to say was in connection with what Jesus said there in the fifth chapter of John, as Jesus stood before that tomb that housed the body of Lazarus that had been dead for 4 days, he called him in a very personal way. He called him by his proper name, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, still wrapped in the grave cloths, And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And the Lord Jesus said in there in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, that the hour is coming. You see, it's yet to come. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And I had made reference to the fact that when our loved ones pass from this life and they're buried, that there's manual labor, there's physical labor that's involved in burying somebody. Somebody comes over there and they work and they labor and they use equipment and they open the grave and they place the body in the grave. But listen, the time is coming when all that Jesus is going to have to do is speak. We're going to hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And listen, he wasn't talking about there when he said that. He wasn't talking about people doing good themselves or doing good works. He was talking about those that have made good by the blood of Jesus Christ are going to be raised unto life. Those that have done evil by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them will be raised unto damnation. But rest assured that the hour is coming, and I understand that this is something that must be taken by faith, because I don't believe our human minds have the ability to comprehend such a thing. But I'm going to tell you what I believe with all my being. That the hour is coming in which everybody that has died, from Adam down to the very last person to live and die in the world, will be raised, will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, and will come forth. Now, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, when those through the working of miracles were raised from the dead, they were brought back to life to live a little bit longer. But you see, when Lazarus, and the reason I said that he has not yet experienced the resurrection as the Bible really teaches us the resurrection, and I find it interesting if you look through the Bible, and you know, I believe that this is right, the research I have done. If you look through the Bible at all of the accounts that are given in the Bible where Jesus raised somebody from the dead, it never attaches the word resurrection to that event. When the resurrection is spoken about, it's always speaking about Jesus raising from the grave, or speaking in future reference to the time that will come when everybody will raise from the dead at the command of Jesus. The other times it speaks about people being brought back to life. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, people being raised again or brought back to life. And you see, there's a difference. There was a difference in what Lazarus experienced than what will be experienced in the resurrection, because you see, when he was raised from the dead, he was brought back to life to live here again for a little bit longer, for a few more years. But you see, he was brought back in the same body that he had when he died. And when we're resurrected, that's not going to be the case. We're going to put off this mortal body. We're going to put off this corruptible body. And that's one of the great benefits of the resurrection. Not only that the body's going to be raised, but that it's going to be raised incorruptible. That we're going to be raised with a new body. That we're going to be raised with a body that will be a fit subject to go and dwell in God's heaven where there's no sin. We can't go there in the body that we have now. We can't do it. It's too corruptible. It's too sinful. And so we must be changed. And the truest meaning and the real meaning of resurrection is to be raised from the dead, Brother Lowe, not to die anymore. Now I'll tell you what I do believe that we've experienced as children of God. I do believe that we have experienced a spiritual resurrection. I believe that when we get saved by God's grace, that we experience a spiritual resurrection, because Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." If we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and experienced the new birth, we have been raised spiritually. We have been brought to life spiritually to live forever, to never die again. That part that God has already touched is never going to die again. It has been raised. It has been, as the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, when he said, "You hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins." So the Lord brought our soul through repentance and faith. He saved us, and he brought us to life from the dead. He gave us eternal life, didn't he? Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me, I would lose none." And he said, there's no man, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand." You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to understand your condition, that you are lost and separated from God, and you are dead spiritually in your soul. You are dead in trespasses and in sins, and the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ is the only power that can bring you back to life. Sin kills the soul in that it separates us from God. And the only way that you can overcome that is to repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord and be saved. And until you do that, you're lost. And if you don't do that, you'll die in that condition and you'll split hell wide open. That's just the truth of God's Word. I'm thankful that I've been saved. I'm glad I've been saved. I'm glad that not only has God already laid claim on my soul and he's keeping it by his power, but he's already laid claim on my body too. And when I die, it's not going to harm me whatsoever, because the body will just lay in the ground until that time. That is, if I'm one of those that die, I might be one of those alive and remaining at his coming. That's something we don't know. But if I'm one of those that goes the way of all the earth before the Lord comes back, then the only thing I'm going to experience is that body resting and waiting for the time when I'll once again hear the voice of the Lord. Now, you want me to explain to you how that can be? I can't do it. But I'll tell you, I believe it. I mean, if my body has, as Job said, if the skin worms have completely destroyed my body, if I've been laying in the dust 1,000 years when he comes, I believe I'll hear Jesus speak to me in the grave. And I believe that I will hear him command my body to come forth, not with this corrupted body, not with a body that's been tainted by sin, but with one that's been made brand new. One that will be raised incorruptible. I'll tell you what, Brother Terry, there won't be any cancer in any of those bodies. There won't be any heart trouble in any of those bodies. They won't have any breathing problems. There won't be any physical ailments whatsoever in those new bodies that God gives to his people. No problems whatsoever. As the saying is today, it'll all be good. It'll all be good. I'm thankful that I have the hope of resurrection. I'm going to die with that. I'm going to die with that expectation. I'm going to die with that anticipation that when my eyes close here in this world, that when this body is no longer needed, when God is finished with this body, that He'll give me a new body. That's great, isn't it? Don't get any better than that, does it? To be saved, both soul and body? To be saved now spiritually and to know that one day we will also be saved bodily for all of eternity? You know what? We will end up just exactly the way that God made us in the very beginning. How did He make man in the beginning? Body and soul. And that's how He intended us to be for eternity. It had to be, this body has to be put away because man chose sin, but it was never God's intention for us to be disembodied spirits. He made us body and spirit, and that's the way that we will one day remain through eternity. Now, folks, that's what I believe, some of what I believe anyway, concerning the resurrection of the dead. That we will live with God. Those who are saved will live with God in eternity, both soul and body one day. And those who fail to get saved will be separated from Him in hell for eternity in both soul and corruptible body. I would urge you to choose the Lord. I've set before you, as we read in the Old Testament, I've set before you this day life and death. Choose life. And life is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. The trumpet will sound. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that is a great part of the resurrection. When the resurrection actually comes, it's going to be time to be changed, and it's going to be time to lift off and to go and be with the Lord forever and forever. It's not going to be raised again, to live here for a little bit longer, and then die again. It's going to be raised incorruptible, to take off with Jesus, to fly away with the Lord, and to go and be with Him for all of eternity. Let's have a song, Brother Wayne. And there's no way that I could explain everything to you about the resurrection. But I'll tell you what, the only one that's really experienced it yet is Jesus. He became the first fruits of them that slept. And because of Him, and because of His victory over death, we also, as His people, we also will have victory over death one day. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, right now we're looking at the grave from this side, but one of these days we're going to look at it from the other side. We're going to look back at it, and we're going to say, where's your victory? Where is your victory? Let's stand and sing. If you're lost today, you need the Lord.
Number 17.